أعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار، وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's the only one worthy of praise, and seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. I believe in Him and I trust Him, and seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen, and I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seed of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is his sunnah. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. After this, I greet you all with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and the blessing of Almighty Allah be with you all. And it's my pleasure to welcome you all for the continuation of explanation and authentication of Kitab al-Tawheed by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahmatullahi alayhi. And today, inshallah, we have a new chapter, which is chapter number 27. This is the second tape for album 3. This is the second tape for album number 3, and this is chapter number 27. And inshallah, usual version of the chapter first. After this, we say it in English. And after this, we go to give the references of the verses. And after this, we authenticate the hadith. And after this, we go for detailed explanation from the book called Al-Qawl al-Mufid ala Kitab al-Tawheed, Sharh Fadilat al-Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen. So, with our chapter 27, Babu Maja'a fi al-Tatayyur. باب ما جاء في النشرة. عن جابر أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سئل عن النشرة فقال هي من عمل الشيطان. رواه أحمد بسند جيد وأبو داود. وقال سئل أحمد عنها فقال ابن مسعود يقرأ هذا كله. وفي البخاري عن قتادة قلت لابن المسيب رجل به طب او يؤخذ على امرأته ايحل عنه او ينشر؟ قال لا بأس به، انما يريدون به الاصلاح، فاما ما ينفع فله فلم ينهى عنه. عليكم السلام. وروي عن الحسن انه قال لا يحل السحر الا ساحر. لا يحل السحر الا ساحر. قال ابن القيم النشرة حل السحر عن المسحور، وهي نوعان، احدهما حل بسحر مثله وهو الذي من عمل الشيطان، وعليه يحمل قول الحسن فيتقرب الناشر والمنتشر الى الشيطان، والمنتشر الى الشيطان بما يوجب وبما يحب فيبطل عمله عن المسحور. والثاني النشرة بالرقية والتعوذات والأدوية والدعوات المباحة، فهذا جائز. فيه مسائل: الأولى النهي عن النشرة، الثانية الفرق بين المنهي عنه والمرخص فيه مما يزيل الإشكال. الله تبارك وتعالى أعلم. سنه إن شاء الله read with the brother Najm al-Din, reading chapter number 27.
Chapter number 27, curing through magical spells, on Nusra. Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him, narrates, Allah's messenger, blessings and peace be upon him, was asked about on Nusra, that is, the act of seeking cure from magical spells and incantations. He, blessings and peace be upon him, said, it is one of the deeds of Satan. Ahmed and Abu Dawood have reported it with good chain of narrators, Isnad. Imam Abu Dawood reported that when he asked by Imam Ahmed bin Hanbal, may Allah be pleased with him, about this, he said, Ibn Mas'ud disliked all this. Al-Bukhari reports from Qatada, may Allah be pleased with him, I said to Ibn al-Musayyab, quote, a man is under a magical spell or is unable to cohabitate with his wife. Should we treat him by an-nushra or apply some other means to cure the spell or sorcery? Ibn al-Musayyab, may Allah be pleased with him, replied, it is all right because they intend restoration or mending. That which benefits is not forbidden. And there is a footnote. Ibn al-Musayyab predicated it on a kind of an-nushra which has no sorcery. Imam al-Hassan al-Basri, may Allah be pleased with him, is of the view that only a sorcerer, a magician, can break the spell of another sorcerer. Ibn al-Qayyim, may Allah be pleased with him, wrote that an-nushra is removing the effects of sorcery or a spell from the affected. And it is of two types. One, the use of magic, sorcery, to remove the effects of another magic, and it is an act of Satan, to which the comment of Imam al-Hassan al-Basri, may Allah be pleased with him, applies. That is, that the one who performs the sorcery and the patient both get closer to Satan by that which he loves. Satan then removes the effects of magic from the afflicted. Number two, the effects of magic can be removed by making recitation of Quranic verses, by offering legitimate prayers, ruqya, as well as using pharmaceutical preparations. This type of nushra is permissible. Important issues of the chapter: 1. Prohibition of an-nushra. Number 2. The difference between the prohibited and what is permitted for the removal of such problems. Thank you.
As we noted in this chapter that we don't have any verses to refer to it. The first hadith that shows in this chapter, chapter 27, this hadith which is reported by Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him, and it is Musnad al-Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood, and this is the one in the collection of al-Imam Ahmad, it's Hasan, which means good. The second narration, which in al-Bukhari, Mu'allaqan. Which reported by Qatada, and the same would be addressed to Ibn al-Musayyab. Again, like I said, this is Muta'allaq, that means it's not been attached to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so we could not say that is authentic. We could not say it's authentic. Also the one that by Al-Hasan, this is not authentic. There is the weakening in the narration. So basically, the only hadith that you can call it a hadith in this chapter is the first one which reported by Jabir, and this hadith is Hasan. As Sheikh Al-Arnaout, Abd al-Qadir Al-Arnaout, Rahmatullah alayhi, he had mentioned in his book. Now we come to the book of Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahmatullah alayh. And he has referred to this hadith that Sheikh Al-Albani, rahmatullah alayh, had authenticated, so in a higher degree than being a Hassan. The hadith that reported by Jabir. باب ما جاء في النشرة curing through magical spells. Okay. This chapter concerning a person curing things that done through magical spells. This is what النشرة. Linguistic speaking, to separate. To separate between two people, as an example. To separate between two things. This is what been meant linguistic about the word an-nushrat. An-nushratu. What it been meant in Islamic terminology, untie or loosen the magic, using magic. Okay, this is what he said, curing the magical spell by using another magic. What is the ruling of Islam concerning this? What is our chapter is about? Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahmatullah alayhi, is saying, removing and curing a person that has a magical spell in him, removing this illness, removing this bad feeling or this problem on a person who has the magical spells is a means of curing. And this is something good for those who seek the pleasure of Allah when they do it, as long as using something permissible. It's because magic has effect on the body of the person and his mind and also his feeling, and his heart. Due to the fact he doesn't feel good except being with the person that the magic been done to be with him. So the magical spells can be for two purposes. Then separating between you and your beloved one, or magic making the magical spells that you be running behind this person, that you fall in love with this woman or falling in love with this man, and you be tracking him or her wherever they go, you keep running behind them, even if it's not your husband, if it's not your wife, and the person doesn't feel good unless he be with that person, even if this person is kafir, if it's not his wife, okay? So the magical spells will be done for one of the two purposes, separating between husband and wife, all right, or be done to make this woman love this man, although this man is not her husband. Jabir radiallahu anhu. So for you to try to help the person who has this illness, this is something good, alright? Because you try to help a Muslim, or you try to help a person that's been afflicted by some illness or some hardship. But you have to do it seeking the pleasure of Allah, and also you do it through a religious, lawful means. You don't do something wrong to remove and curing the person who has the magical spell. Sometimes it's not a magic. It can be that a person have a social problem, or that the person have a lot of anxiety, or a lot of what you may call it nervous breakdown, or a lot of emotion problems. So the depression also, okay? So does not have to be always something related to magic. It can be a depression, it can be a what you call a physical illness is not a magical spell that has been put in the person. Okay? So regardless if it is a magical spell or that a body illness, alright? A physical illness that it need to be treated. And as long we treating it in the proper way, okay, like going to the doctor, as example. So it's not everything that now we say, okay, this person, somebody has got spells on him. Somebody made magic for him. It can be a physical illness. It can be depression. It can be too much problems. It can be too much work, you see. So we don't have to be always jumping to the conclusion that somebody bought a magic spells on that person. But regardless if it is a physical illness or a magical spell, we need to find a means and ways to remove it from the person, and as long as it is lawful means, will be okay. And here the Sheikh saying he using the Alif and Lam. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being questioned concerning An-Nushra. So here like he's being questioned about specific means of separation between two people, which been utilized in the Jahiliyyah time. And in actuality, they use magic in these things. So to untie or to loose or to remove or cure this through this magical spell, there is different means and ways. One way is by using the shayateen, the devils. And usually the people, they did not reach what they need from the shayateen except by committing shirk. So when a person tried to removing this magical spell, he uses the shayateen, and the shayateen is not going to assist him unless he doing something haram, especially shirk. So if the means, if using the shayateen, and the means is going to be by committing shirk in Allah, so this means became is a shirk means, okay? And if it becomes through means of disobedience, not a shirk, so also will take the ruling of being disobedient to Allah, okay? So it depends what the shaitan will ask the person to do. If he asking him to do shirk, so this means became shirk. If he asking him to do disobedience, so this means became disobedience. The other means to remove or cure the person who has magical spells by using medicine or using nuts and blowing in it, and using magical means, as this will become also haram and will become kufr, because magic is part of the kufr. Okay? So you're going to remove the magical spells by a means of shirk or a means of sihr, magic, sorcery, or by means of disobedience to Allah. The Sheikh gave examples that some people, they used a big pot and they put it on top of the, or a tray, a big tray, and they put the tray or the pot on top of the head of the person who been afflicted by magical spells. And they pour, they put water in this magical, in this pot. And after this, they pour inside the cold water a melted iron or rasas, whatever you call it, lead. So when they pour this melted lead in the cold water, it will frozen and became like one piece together. And they say that the face of the person who made the magical spell will formulate inside this lid. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? Is it still doing this? And now they will recognize who's the person who did the magical spell, okay? Like as example, if you take a melted candle, a melted candle, and you pour it in cold water. So this will start to be formed like one chunk, okay? And now they try to stare at this lid or candy, candle, and they will figure the face of a person, of a face of a human being, and say, okay, this is the person who made the magical spells on this specific person. Okay? So this is a form of magic, and this is something forbidden in Al-Islam. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, he been questioned concerning al-Nusra. So he said some of the people said it's permissible. So they told him, oh Imam, these people say, let the man carry a pot on his head, and after this they put water and pour lead and things like this. So when Imam Ahmad heard this, he said, I don't know, leave me alone, okay? So after the Imam gives his fatwa, that some people say it's permissible, now when they find the people go through some kind of magic and sorcery and things like this, he said, what? I have nothing to say about it, leave me alone, stay away from me. The hadith is saying, سُئِلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَمْ عَنِ الْمُشْرَكِ فَقَالَ هِيَ مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم been questioned about al-Nushra, the act of seeking cure from magical spells. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, it is one of the deeds of the shaitan. It is one of the deeds of the shaitan. Okay? Using means and ways to bring man and woman together, to love each other, or using means to separate between a man and his wife. Okay? So the Prophet ﷺ, his answer about it was what? It is from the deed or the act of the shaitan. I.e., that from the deed and the acts with the shaitan will command the people to do it. That because shaitan commands the people to do wrongdoing and evil doing, and this was sufficient term or other alternative instead of saying haram or forbidden. Never, not only that it's haram, but this expression is supposed to tell you it's more than haram. It's something very serious. Alright? Because some people, if they do not see the term haram or forbidden, they think that it's okay or it's a minor. But the Prophet ﷺ said it is from the deed of the shaitan. It is enough to derive and to attach such act to the shaitan. Okay? This shows you how ugly and how terrible and how bad it is. The Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi said, is not all the statements comes for something is forbidden with the term haram. It is sufficient when the Prophet called Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that there is such a punishment for such act, this tells you that this act is haram, it's forbidden. Okay? So you don't always have to look to the word forbidden in the hadith or haram in the hadith or in the verse to say such act is haram. If Allah said whosoever do such and such, you will get such and such a punishment, this tells you what? This act is haram, it's forbidden. The statement of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu an yakrahuhu, he doesn't like it. Okay? When Imam Ahmad been questioned concerning al-Nushra, he said, Ibn Mas'ud yakrah hadha kullu. He said, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu an, one of the Sahaba, Imam Abu Dawood reported that when asked by Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah about this, he said, Ibn Mas'ud disliked all this. So, the answer of Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi alayh to the person who questioned him about curing through magical spells, his answer was what? He used the statement of Ibn Mas'ud and he said, Ibn Mas'ud is saying he dislikes all this. It seems that Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he doesn't have a statement from the Prophet to use it as an evidence, so he gives his opinion by saying that he dislikes it. Okay? Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi didn't have a statement, or that Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he doesn't have a statement from the Prophet, so he said what? That Ibn Mas'ud, okay, excuse me, Imam Ahmad didn't have a statement, it seems that he didn't have a statement directly from the Prophet, so he utilized the saying of Ibn Mas'ud, and he said Ibn Mas'ud disliked all this. That means all that referring to anything relating to the curing of magical spells. But it seems that he generalized, made general statement that mean what is lawful, what has been through medicine or through surgery, but it's not what been meant, because curing by using the Quran, curing magical spells through Quran and hadith and قل أعوذ برب الفلق قل أعوذ برب الناس and hadith, the dua, the Prophet told us about it. Nobody can say that this is disliked. As we understand that Ibn Mas'ud, he used to dislike also people hanging Quran in their necks, writing some of the Quran and use it as a necklace to wear it to become a form of protection. Alright? Some people they take a small paper and write some of the Quran in it and they sew it and make a small pouch and they hang it in the neck of the children. Ibn Mas'ud, he disliked this. So the statement of Imam Ahmad, he disliked all this, that means things which had work related to the shaitanic work, like using sorcery and nuts and spits and things like this. The statement yakrah, dislike, been utilized differently among the previous and the early scholars. Early scholars, they use the term dislike or makruh in many cases for what is forbidden. So when he say Imam Ahmad dislike this or Imam Malik dislike this, does not mean dislike that it is okay to do it. That means he's saying in his, according to their terminology, that it's haram. Okay? In most cases. Otherwise, it has to be something to accompany this term to let you know dislike that means lightly. Early scholars use the term dislike, meaning in many cases that is haram. But the present and recent scholars, they use it in a different understanding and a different term. Look at example in Surah Al-Isra. Surah Al-Isra, verse number 23. that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَدَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, that your Lord Almighty Allah has commanded and decreed that you worship none except Him and be kind to your parents. Okay? To the end of the verses, all the way from 23 until what? 38. And in the end of the verse it says, كُلُّ ذَلِكَ كَانَ سَيِّئُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ مَكْرُوهًا. All of that, the evil of it, is disliked by Allah. So in these verses, Allah talks about the killing, adultery, fornication, it is the property of the orphan. So Allah could not be talking about adultery and killing to be disliked. That means it's okay if you do it. But it means that it's haram. Okay? Do we understand it? If you read in Surah Al-Isra, Allah says, don't do this, don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't eat that. Okay? And in the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying what? All this before your Lord is disliked. So what does it mean, disliked? Like some people say makruh, that means if you do it, it's not going to be punished. No. Mean disliked means that it's forbidden, haram. You got the surah? Surah number? 38. No. 17, because this comes, I think, before the Kaf. Surah number 17. When you read from verses 23 all the way down to 38, you find Allah mentioning killing, adultery, all the things. But in the end, the last verses say what? Makruh. Okay, so some people they say what? Makruh, that means dislike, this is, it's not really haram. So if the adultery and fornication and killing is not haram, what else it can be haram? What else it can be forbidden? Alright? The Shaykh saying, with no doubt what Allah meant by this, that it's haram. Alright? The second narration, which in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari, but like we said, hadith mu'allaq is not narrated to the Prophet, but Imam al-Bukhari used it as a title, as example. Okay, he didn't lift it up to say the Prophet said such and such, okay? Or that he attributed to the Sahabi. Alright? So it's not hadith from the Prophet. So it's not taken the same degree of authentication like when Imam al-Bukhari said so and so from the Sahaba says the Prophet said. So here in collection of Imam al-Bukhari from Qatada, which is a Sahabi, may Allah be pleased with him, talking, he says, I said to Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, like I questioned him concerning Rajulun bihi tib, aw yu'khadu an imra'atihi. A man is under a magical spell or unable to be intimate with his wife. Should we treat him by a nushra or apply some other means to cure the sorcery or the magical spells? Ibn al-Musayyib rahmatullahi alayhi replies, it is alright because they intended the restoration to rebuild, to correct the problem, to give him a cure and healing. Okay? That which benefits is not forbidden. So, Ibn al-Musayyab, rahmatullahi alayhi, he first said the word bihi tib. The Shaykh, rahmatullahi alayhi, said, what is been meant by this? That he has a magic. Because the word tib means the medicine and the cure. So how a man has a cure, or a man who is well, is the term that the people use it for the sick person, hoping, like being optimistic that he's going to be well. So they say a man, rajulun bihi tib, instead of saying he's a sick person or he's ill. He is having a problem, that means he is sick. But being a tub, that means hoping that he would be cured. Okay? Like this person that been nudh bi aqrab. فجاءت الجارية وقالت إن سيد الحي سليم. Okay? Instead of saying been stung by a scorpion, he said that our chief master, the chief of the tribe, he is Salim, that he is well, although that he been stung by a scorpion. And she was asking if any of the Sahaba can cure him by reading Quran in him. So the Arabs, they use the opposite of the term, being optimistic that the person will get well. So instead of saying a person is sick, they say a person who is well. Okay. And what meant by this, يُحْبَسُ عَنْ زَوْجَتِي, that means a man been having an obstacle, which is something you could not see it, that he could not be intimate with his wife, that when he goes sleep with her, now he could not have intercourse with her. But physically, he's well. Okay? But a magic been done to him, so when he's about to do the act, he could not have intercourse with her. The Sheikh saying, it's so amazing and well known among the people, that if somebody, during the time the people contracting the marriage ceremony, if somebody tied a knot, this became a cause to withhold the man from his wife. Or if he crossed his finger, what you call it, what he called it? Crossing, or somebody sitting in the gathering crossed his finger while they conducted the ceremony, this man is not going to be able to be intimate with his wife. Okay? And the Sheikh, I don't know anything about this stuff. Okay? I don't know any base of this information, any root, on any validity for this. But it is true. We know that some people been having a problem to be intimate with their wives, and they see cure for it. Some of the scholars, they say that she should divorce her, and after this, remarry her, and this will cure the magical spells. But I don't know if this is true or not. Nevertheless, if this is true and will be beneficial, this divorce will be permissible, because he didn't really mean to divorce her, to get rid of her, but he divorced her to become a means of cure for this problem. Nevertheless, I don't give a fatwa about this stuff, neither I am familiar with all this stuff. ماذا تاد به طب او قاج يؤخذ عن امرأتي. That means he, the reporter, he was not sure that which one that he would take or that he be prevented from being entered with his wife. Or he may ask him that if a person has a magical spell, or that means he could not have intercourse with his wife. That means he asked him about both cases. So he said, لا بأس به. He said that it's no harm. Why? Because Ibn al-Musayyab, he says that they attend something good. Now the person could not be intimate with his wife, and they try to fix this problem. They are not trying to cause somebody harm. As a result of this, Ibn al-Musayyab, he didn't see any harm or anything wrong, because that you are trying to benefit somebody, so he didn't forbid them to do this. As if Ibn al-Musayyab, rahmatullahi alayhi, he had divided the magic or the magical spells to two parts. One part which is harmful and one part which is beneficial. Okay? Fadlar muharram. So the one that is harming is forbidden. As Allah said, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse 102, وَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ. They learn what caused harm to them, nothing beneficial. And otherwise, which is beneficial or good or cure or removing the problem. And this type is okay. Amen. And this is what some of the scholars had accepted, and they said it is permissible to remove magical spells by magic as a matter of necessity. Some of the scholars said it is permissible to remove magic by magic. Okay? But other scholars, they said, it's not permissible to remove magical spells by using magic. And they said what Ibn al-Musayyab meant, that he did not know that this is magic. That means they used means to cure the person, but they did not know that this cure was a magic. But if you know that this means is a magic, you could not use it. And Allah knows best. Nevertheless, even if Ibn al-Musayyab, or who is higher than him in knowledge, okay, that their statement is not an evidence against Islam. If they see this to be permissible, this does not mean that it's permissible in the deen of Allah. unless we check what they say against the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How come we want to take the statement of Ibn al-Musayyib while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being questioned about it, and he said what? Hiya min amal al-shaytan. Indeed, it is from the act of the shaytan. That means Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, he's saying, doesn't matter if the tabi'i or the scholar said it's okay, it's not okay. Because nobody, his statement can be evidence against Islam. What is evidence is what Allah said and what the Prophet said. And whosoever says something is not agreed with Quran and Hadith, we could not pay attention to it. And why are we going to make a big deal about what Ibn Musayyib is saying, while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam already in the beginning of the chapter been questioned about it, and he said what? It is from the deed and the act of the shaitan. Okay? So what we come out of this, from this chapter, that we could not, that we understand that there is an imaginary spell can be both in the person, by an evil person, in which you can cause the person to stay away from his wife or could not be intimate with her, or can cause this woman to be running behind another man, or this man be running behind another woman, okay? And they do not feel content unless they are be with this person, because somebody has bought a magical spell to own this people. And that there is cure for these cases. One which is forbidding, and this by using the shayateen, or using sorcery, and this is haram and shirk, because the shaitan is not going to help you for the goodness of your for only making something, giving you a favor for nothing. When the shaitan tries to help you and removing this thing from the sick person, he's going to mislead you soon or later, or to make you do something haram, or to mislead people through you. Okay? And the other means that the person tries to remove this by what? By Islamic means. This Islamic means, that means a person to recite Quran, like calling the Adhan in your house, reciting Surah Al-Baqarah in your house, putting your hand on the person, if it's lawful for you to touch him, from a man to man or a woman to woman, and read Fatiha or Ikhlas, Falaq, An-Nas, or read Ayatul Kursi, okay? And also, we do not always have to assume that it's a magical spell, because it can be a weakness in the person that he needs to see a doctor, okay? Or that the person, he doesn't like his woman anymore because the way how she talks to him, or because he understands the way she always bugging him about give me money. So now he, when he got speak with her, he doesn't even campaign with her. So he could not have erection, and after this he think that he had magical spells. So it not always have to be magical spells on the person. It can be another problem. It can be a physical problem, the person too tired, or that the person, he doesn't like this woman anymore, or he doesn't like the way how she talked to him. So always when he starts to get intimate with her, he remember when she cursed to him, when she beat him on his head, when she did this and that to him, you understand? So now he doesn't feel to be with her, you see? Or that the person has too much trouble and problems and depression, so he needs to see taking some medicine. Or the person will need to take some vitamins. Okay? So it's not always the first thing comes to your mind or somebody, what spells with me? Okay? Somebody made a magic for me. So, inshallah, with this we come here to end this chapter, because we understand that it's almost time for Maghrib, but this chapter will be enough for us for today. And we understand from this chapter that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had forbid al-nushra by saying that what it is from the deed of the shaitan. It's not enough. He does not have to say to you it is haram or it is shirk. It is enough the Prophet said what? Innaha min amal al-shaytan. Indeed, it is from the deed or the act of the shaitan. Also, we have to understand there is a means that we can cure the illness, and there is something is permissible and some is not permissible. And we have a question here in the floor. This been done to him, and I had mentioned this before in one of the classes. I think the man, his name is Labid ibn al-Ba'asam or something like this, is a Yahudi. He had made a magic spell on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it made the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam yukhayyal annahu ya'ti shay wa la ya'ti. Okay, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be affected. And some people, this is correct, it happened, and Jibreel alayhi salam has came, and he has cured the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from this by reciting Quran in him. And some people, they said, how this can happen to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a human being. Okay? And this was not something that affected the Sharia. It didn't affect him to forget or to neglect any of the revelation. It's like somebody having a stomach ache or a headache. So with a physical illness, we know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to come, he used to have humma, very, very high fever. Okay? And he told us that he gets the double suffering. When the fever comes in, it's almost like two, double of the amount of suffering of a regular human being. He said, yes, this is true, but also I get the double reward. Okay? So the physical illness, it can happen to the Prophet because he is a human being. And this magic spells that have been happened by the Prophet was something affected his body, it didn't affect his mind or his heart concerning receiving the Quran or anything like this. Or was it affecting him, his intimate life with his wife? Okay? And also, maybe because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us, to make us know that he's a human being and these things can happen to us, and also to teach us the proper way how to treat this illness when it happens to one of us. Okay? And as long as the person making the salah, keeping away from the haram, keeping away pictures, statues, and music and all the things out of his house, having a Muslim Islamic environment in his house, Islamic personality in his life as much as possible, having strong trust in Allah, try to stay in wudu, making your 5-time prayers, always try to be going to the mosque, these things keep the person to be protected by Allah. Because usually just the shayateen start to get advantage of the person when he gets away from the way of Allah. As long as he has a strong trust in Allah and strong iman, and the more the shayateen will be a distance from the person, you understand? And the person in the morning should be reciting Ikhlas, Falaq, and Nas 3 times. The 3 surahs, he says 3 times. After morning, and after Asr prayer. It will be a protection and a shield for you, alaykum salam, will be a protection and shield for you from all things. Always remember before you step out of your house, immediately after you say Salat al-Fajr, don't go any place, don't do anything until you take your protection. You know it's raining outside, cats and dogs. You could not be walking under with your t-shirt. You get ammonia. You see? So you know, you get up, you make your Salat al-Fajr before sunrise, and right away, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. The three surahs, you say three times, times three. The three surahs, say three times. That means you have said each one three times. Okay? You say, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. So how many times this? This is one. So you repeat this again for the second time. And you repeat this three again for the third time. Every day after the morning prayer, the Asr prayer. And if you forgot it, as soon you remember, say it right away. Get your protection. Because when you step out, you don't even have to step out. In your own house, the shaitan can be there, the magic can be working, everything, the bad things, everywhere, at all the time. So as soon you get up, make your salah and get your protection. Get what you call this shield. Like you see the policeman when he's in duty, before he steps outside, he bought what? They call it blue vest. He doesn't go outside because he got a call without his bulletproof vest. So we have to understand we need to protect ourselves with the words of Allah, with the Quran, and this is the best thing that the person always have to do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, and it's time for things that then, is it? You sure? I thought it's 7-7. Okay. Alright, with this we get to close inshallah our chapter. Jazakumullah khairan for coming, and inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد ان لا اله الا انت نستغفرك ونتوب اليك.